with road-related deaths in Australia having dropped by a greater percentage over the past 30 years than deaths from any other cause, what is the future of road safety likely to be? Michael Griffiths predicts.
Vehicles themselves are going to start doing what drivers don't. The technology is here now, and it's only arrived in the last 2 years, for every vehicle to know what the speed limit is, in the area it is, and even if that's changed by time of day, like a school zone, and for the vehicle to be automatically limited to that speed. In other words, if you're serious about saying that's the 60 kilometre per hour zone, then the vehicles can't do over 60 kilometres per hour in that zone. The computers are in the car. The GPSs are there. So I think the road toll is going to come down drastically, and I think it's going to be through engineering intervention. But I think the ongoing difficulties in changing driver behaviour are going to remain. They're just going to use engineering means. Drivers want to speed, engineering means vehicle won't speed. And I think that this has bigger flow-on benefits to all classes of road user.
The future is brighter than ever. The smarts we can build into cars could make such huge differences. We are very close to having cars that can put out a signal saying, I'm here in this space, and another car saying, oh, you're there, are you? Well, I better watch it, because unless I change my behaviour, I will hit you. And hence, the second car will then adjust its behaviour, or tell the first car to get out the way because I can't stop in time. It's having cars talk to each other to let them know where they are. Cars can now, for instance, correct when you run over an edge line. They can correct you and bring you back. So drowsiness type situations can be picked up. And it's inevitable over time that we'll be able to say, well, there's guardrail here, or there's a post here. We'll put a little transponder on a post, and the post will say, hey, I'm over here, don't hit me. And the car will be able to take evasive action. And that sort of thing, 10 to 20 years, it will be with us. And then it will wake you up when you're asleep, or it will turn its ignition off, or pull you over to the edge of the road safely.
Peter Croft evaluates.
The last 3 decades or so has been a maturing of the scientific approach, I think, to road safety. That's been typified by understanding of the principles, you know, physics and engineering, medicine, psychology, economics and so on. All those principles have been applied to this issue, this public health issue of road safety. That's been fundamental. The other area in which I think the activity's been maturing is in terms of the application, the evaluation, the understanding of what works and how much. I think that's got to continue. The other part was really the idea of having a sound basis for going forward, the evidence-based approach. And that, again, comes from the fundamental scientific underpinning. One needs to not go out on a wing and a prayer, but with some hard scientific evidence wherever possible. Often there's a combination of those sort of approaches, but I think that's all that's got to continue for road safety in our area. And I say our area because I think the other major challenge is to help other rapidly developing nations learn from what our experience has been. And if we do it right, we should be able to help development in those countries over a far lesser time period than it took us to develop it, because we were at the forefront.
The road toll now is heading towards a figure of close to 1 million a year, and that's largely being driven by developing countries like China and India, as well as the rest of Asia and things like that. Their road safety circumstances are very different to ours. They're going through that motorisation period that we experienced in the 1950s, 60s and 70s. So they're going through all those sort of increases in road trauma. Plus they also have huge populations. So it's going to be multiplied even more by the fact that there's larger and larger numbers of them. So that represents a tremendous challenge for the world's road safety community. I think the World International Road Federation quoted that road trauma will become the largest cause of accidental death in the world by 2030. So forget about wars, civil wars and that sort of thing. It's going to be a huge number by 2030, and it's being driven by developing countries like India and China.
Well, I think that one of the big challenges for future road safety, and this was a challenge that I was interested when as the manager of road user safety, was the ageing population. And I remember that we had an expert out from Western Europe, and she gave a talk on older road safety. And one of the people in the RTA, a senior manager, said, yes, we will have to think about that in the next decade. And she fixed a steely gaze on him and said, well, don't wait for then, because it'll be you, and I better start doing something now. I think that we will see with people who now are 60 and want to drive till they're 90, and the baby boomers will want to drive, they will want to be active. I mean, 60 is the new 40 and 80 is the new 60. And these people are going to exercise their political power. And so the network is going to have to be reconfigured in some way to keep these people safer for longer. And I think that will be a real challenge for the road safety people in the future.